The last few weeks, there's been some really tremendous things that have happened here in our church with individual people. A couple of weeks ago, we did a message on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And something happened where I had the privilege of having many people come and tell me their testimony or the things that had gone on in their lives and how they had met God in different ways. There's been healings, very significant healings that have happened. Last week, we moved into, Daryl was speaking. And so Daryl ended up working through what are some of the fears that we would have. Fear of unknown, of the future, fear of failure, the fear of reconciling relationships or of parenting, fear of being really honest with what's going on, fear of making wrong decisions. And then he talked about the signal to noise ratio, where he was saying, instead of focusing on all the bad, because our minds don't really do that well, how about we focus on the things that are good and make them better? And he wasn't talking about self-talk. He was saying that our minds actually don't follow negative commands all that well. And so we should focus on the areas that we want to actively grow in God. Another just fantastic message. And as a result, many people were, that was one of the weekends. It was like, oh, that was really key for me. That was something that was really important. And so what I felt God ask for this morning is that to start off our service, we're going to have a time of sharing some testimonies. So something that God has done, if it's something in the course of the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, something that God has spoke, something that God has done or changed you, you've been healed of something, you met God in a way you haven't known before, we're gonna just take a little bit of time for people to come and testify. And I think this is really scriptural. We've often made evangelism something where we just go tell people the kind of the four spiritual laws, which is fine, but actually we're to testify of the things that God is doing in our lives. This is actually what we get to do. This is actually sharing the good news. And I have the privilege as the pastor to get so many emails and text messages about things God is doing. And so I wanted you to have the opportunity, those who would like to share, and you to be able to hear as well. So I'm going to pray. I've asked Manon to also come and to come pray. And she's going to pray in French. Yay! We have many Francophone people in our church, and so I've asked if she would come, and she would pray in French, and I'll pray in English, and then we'll get into our testimonies and go on from there. Fair?
OK. Merci, Seigneur Jésus, pour cette belle journée. Merci pour cet été qu'on a eu. Merci pour nos invités à cette église. Merci, Seigneur, pour toute la diversité dans cette église, toutes les différentes cultures et langages. Merci, Seigneur Jésus, que tu es présent et que ton esprit est ici. Et merci pour toute la guérison que tu amènes à ceux et celles qui ont besoin de la guérison. Tu es si bon, Seigneur, et tu pourvois pour nous. Merci.
Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for this church. Thank you, God, for the people that are here. Thank you, God, for your spirit and that this is not dependent this morning upon Donovan. It's not dependent on that. It's actually dependent upon you, Holy Spirit, and our hearts if they hunger for you. And so, God, I ask that our hearts would become open and honest and ready to receive what it is that you have today. God, maybe there's a word of encouragement that we need to hear. Maybe we need to be challenged by somebody else's faith journey in knowing you. Perhaps, God, it's something out of scripture that we need to be stirred in. God, maybe there's a hunger that we've lacked for a long time. God, maybe we just need to have understanding from someone else, but we need your spirit to take the words that are shared today and translate it into our hearts, God. So I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and move here today, that you would come and teach us. God, as we testify that you would be glorified, you would be honored, you would be the one that we would worship and praise and adore as a result. So thank you, God, for this morning. Amen. Just want you to just take a minute, and I'm just going to ask God for him to bring to mind something that he's done in your life or has been doing in the last little bit. So we'll just be quiet before him for a minute. Holy Spirit, would you bring to mind for the people that are here today, God, of something that you've been doing in them, something you've revealed, God, where you've transformed their lives, God, maybe someone who's been filled by your spirit for the first time. God, perhaps it's a healing. Jesus, would you bring to mind what it is that you've been doing in the lives of the people in this church? And now, Holy Spirit, is that a testimony that you would like us to share today? God, is that a testimony of something you've done that you just want for us? God, or is this something that is to encourage the whole body? Amen. Okay, so we're going to do some testimony. And if you're new here, we haven't done this before, so it's really exciting. So is there someone that would like to come and share something that God has been doing in your life, something that you'd like to come share? We'd love it if you would come forward. We're not looking for 15-minute testimonies, but a minute or two or three, whatever that you would need. So is there someone that would like to come and share something that God has been doing in your life in the last little bit? Some of your hearts are pounding. That's probably God saying this is really good to come up. Yeah, come, Victoria, for sure.
Well, I have something from this morning, actually. I have been thinking about obedience and what that looks like, and I've been feeling lately that the Lord's been speaking to me about the night watches, but I'm not, always naturally a morning person, but I've also know that he does call me to pray often, and that all of a sudden there'll be just sort of this wave of you're awake. But occasionally I'll look at the clock and go, well, you can't possibly want me to get up at this time, I'll never make it through the day. But the last little while I've been just responding, and this morning it was 4:24 and my brain went obey. And my brain didn't say that, but my brain said obey. And what I'm realizing is, so in that obedience, it's also just spending time with him. And the signal to noise ratio has just been my kind of in my brain all week. So when I think about other people in my life, and it's so quick to for us to want to focus on what's not going right and what isn't right, and kind of being the line judge in a tennis match, fault, instead of thinking, well, how can I talk to them, or how can I get them to see the truth? I think, no, it's really about Jesus being more and more and more in me, but I can only have that. I can't manufacture that. I actually have to walk with him and talk with him and be with him, and that it's his, through me and us, the church, it's we're not going to argue or point things out to people. It's the revelation of his goodness and his beauty. So I've had such beautiful times with him, just soaking in his love and hearing his voice. And so I just want to encourage us all to be obedient. Just very quickly, I'm reading a book about, you can take this or leave it because it's kind of subjective. I'm not a man who spent some time in heaven, but he said Jesus told him about his time in hell, and about how hell, for Jesus, was about being mocked, and you think you're the Son of God, and look what happened, and just realizing how much negativity and mocking and pointing fingers, condemnation, is never, ever, ever his heart and what we will walk in as we're more and more in him. So just to try to have that litmus test, am I thinking negatively? Am I thinking correction and judgment, or am I feeling just this overwhelming love that is transforming?
Awesome. Thank you, Victoria. Cool. Anyone else want to come share? Yeah, for sure.
A couple of weeks ago, I was pondering the person of the Holy Spirit, and I had read a few things about what... Huh? So I read a few things of some of the famous Christians from the past and their experiences with the Holy Spirit. And I just came, people think it's, you know, he is just a force, whatever. And I was pondering that, thinking, because I always pray, Lord, fill me with your spirit, refill me with your spirit. But I suddenly began to feel, to think differently, and think, Lord, your Holy Spirit is in me. He is a part of me. And, you know, where Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. So it's Christ's spirit within me. And as I die to self, as I daily, minute by minute, die to what my thoughts would want to do or my way would want to, then the Holy Spirit has more room in my heart and in my mind to possess me, and therefore I can walk more fully in his spirit. And as I was walking down the street, I was just worshiping the Lord and thinking, Lord, you are with me right now. Like, your person is in me. You are, and it's not like you came to take away my personality or to supplant me, but to make me the best in you, that I can be the one that I was originally created to be. And that day was an awesome day, because I was just encountering people with the response was fantastic. People were joyful and, how are you today? And it was wonderful. And so I want to continue to walk in that. And I encourage each one of us to understand that when we, it's just a minute by minute surrender, and then God fills us.
Great, thank you. Thanks so much. Someone else that would like to come? Brittany, are you walking up? All right, so brace yourself for this testimony, okay? I might have heard this, and I might have encouraged her, and you want to hear this one, so listen real carefully.
I knew I had to come up, so I've been, like, shaking in the back. Anyways, so probably when I was in, when I was in grade 8, I was very sick that year. I was in and out of the hospital that whole year, and I was diagnosed with celiac disease. And also, they just gave me a huge list of food that I was allergic to. And since then, my health has only gotten worse and worse. And for those of you who know me, when I go to a party, I drink water, and I eat nothing because I can't eat anything. And I just never thought that I would be healed. I was like, you know what, I will joyfully serve the Lord sick my whole life if that's what God is calling me to. And probably 2 months ago, through a prophetic word or prophetic words, many people got that I would be healed. And that's just never something that I thought would be possible. In the past year, I was given a list of like 4 pages full of food that I would not be able to eat. And every time I ate, I was very sick. And God just really sustained me through all of that and just really gave me a spirit of joy. And about 3 weeks ago, God healed me of all of my allergies. And so here I am, and I can eat pizza and lots of food. And I just want to encourage you guys to cling on to Jesus, because through Jesus, he can break every chain, every chain. And he didn't just heal me of food allergies in that. He healed me of lots of emotional healing that was linked to my physical health. And so I just want to encourage you that whatever you're going through, to cling on to him, because he can break every chain and he can sustain us through every season. To him be the glory.
Oh. I've known Brittany a long time, and food is one of those things, from vegetables and certain fruits and pizza and every meat and dairy, everything. And you always feel bad, like you can only eat rice cakes. And so when she began to tell us a story and working through some of the emotional stuff involved coming out of a prophetic word, there was all sorts of things connected. And it was just pursuing God and be obedient to him. And to get the whole story, sit down with her one day, because it's a tremendous story of God building her faith and trust in him as a result all the way through. And so when she came here to the church, she works, her and her husband work with our youth here at the church. So when she came and she was telling us what was going on, and the night before she had eaten some food, and there's none of these same effects, like throat close off and you die, so that wasn't going on. She was like, she didn't know what was happening, and her body hadn't had it before. And so we've just been praying and watching, and she's eating pizza and toast and cheese and milk and cereal. It is awesome. So thank you for sharing, Brittany. Isn't that awesome? Ah, so good. And I know there's lots that have been asking God for healing for a long time. And we've said, God, like we desire to see it. We just don't know how. We're going to be faithful to pray and to seek you. And maybe this is the start of God healing many in the church. Anyway, would anyone else like to come and share today? Someone else have something to testify? Are you walking up, Matt? All right.
Okay, it's like a 6-month story, so I'm only going to focus on the last couple weeks. But I need someone else to come and join me up here. Chris, this is actually not my testimony, it's partially his too. I'm very much throwing him under the bus. I texted him and said, dude, you got to go up, and he said no, so. Sucks to be you. 6 months ago, God called me to come to the city and be part of the church here, and there was a house that I was going to move into, and I just had this desire to have a house where there was just a bunch of us all living there, just doing this community style living where it's like we're a big family, we're pursuing God together, doing life together. And it's been a big dream of mine, because for the last 6 years that's how I've been living in Steinbeck. And so 6 months ago, I was like, hey, we're going to do that. There's a couple of friends. We were all getting together and we were excited about it. But then he closed the door. He opened it again a few months later, closed it again. And then about a month ago, for the third time, he's like, the house became available. And God said, Matt, you need to do it. And then I said no twice. And I was like, no, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know who I'm going to do it with. It's too much money. I can't afford it, all this stuff. So I went away for holidays this last summer, like 4 weeks ago, and God brought the idea up again. I was like, God, like what in the world? Like there's people that have already taken it. Like it's not even available. And I don't even know who I'm going to do it with. And the one name he brought up was Chris. And I had met this kid that week at church on a Sunday morning for like 4 minutes in the back. I'm like, I don't even know this guy. This is going to be so weird. Just be like, hey, you want to move in with me? And I was like, God, the people have already said yes to it. So I was like, okay, if I get back and the house is still available, I'll say yes. So I get back on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday passes. Tuesday, I'm hanging out at the church with Amy for work, and she gets a text from Donovan, and Donovan says, hey, do you want the house? And Amy was going to take it a couple weeks before that. Sorry, I'm kind of all over the place, but we haven't even gotten to the juice yet, so one second. And anyways, so the house was still available. I was like, what? I was like, what in the world? So I went for a walk. I was like, God, what the heck? I've put out 2 fleeces and you've answered both of them. And suddenly now everyone I was going to move in with before 6 months ago are now not moving in. And I can't say yes to this house by myself. And God said, actually, Matt, I've called you to live a life of faith. And this is what I'm asking you to do. So I did it. And then I was like, and I just knew I needed to ask Chris. And I was like, I don't know. This guy doesn't even know me. And I knew he was living at the U of M dorm this last year. His parents moved to BC. And so I took him out for supper on the Wednesday. And I was like, hey, I just praying for an in. I bet you he's going to hate living at dorm. So we're going to talk. He's like, oh yeah, like it just sucks. I was like, oh man, well, I got a good option for you, you know? So he gets in the car. I'm like, oh man, like how's things going? How's living at dorm? He's like, oh, I love it, man. It's so awesome. I'm like, sweet. Nice. So I'm like, okay, God, just give me an in. Just give me an in. So we're talking and or just having supper. And it just comes up that he feels like he's been when waiting for something to happen, for an opportunity to present itself for him to grow in his faith in a more intentional way. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I got something crazy for you. So then I asked him, I was like, this is going to sound totally crazy because we've only really known each other for about, at this point, you know, 47 minutes. So I asked him, and then I'll let him talk for a little bit.
All right, yeah. So he asked me to move in with him, and I definitely thought, like, who is this guy? This is pretty weird. But the more we talked about it, the better it sounded. And, like, that day, I mean, I decided that I wanted to do it. And then I had some complications with my parents about me moving in with people they'd never met before. Oh, yeah, and because they're not religious at all. And so just over, like, a week, I was thinking that, like, no, I'm not moving in. Okay. Yeah.
So, and I told, I just.
I'm not fasting.
That's okay. No, I knew, and I told him, I was like, dude, I just know you're going to be in there by September 1st. I just knew it, you know, because I felt like I'd been praying through this thing. I just knew September 1st, man, you're going to be in there. And so you had talked to your parents. So I asked you on the Wednesday, and you had talked to your parents the first time. And tell them how that
went. Wait, tell them. Yeah, so they said no. They said it just sounds impractical. Like, I'd have to be finding rides to school every day, and I'd have to be cooking my own meals. I mean, usually I'd just eat on campus, so it was really convenient. So there's a lot of things. They were very logical, and it all made sense. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right. This is kind of crazy. Like, I probably shouldn't just jump into something like this. And then the weeks went on. Matt was still I told him everything. I told him. And he said, oh, yeah, all that makes sense. He's like, but you're still moving in. I'm like, oh, okay, well, all right. And he just kept saying, he's like, I know you're moving in, man. I'm like, I don't think I am.
Because your parents, like,
Yeah, no, once their mind is made up, it's like really takes a miracle to convince them otherwise.
Okay, so then, we didn't rehearse this. I know it seems like, well. But so I just felt that we needed to spend a day praying and fasting for this. So I had moved in with a couple other people from church. We moved in last weekend. And so, and we all felt like that Chris was supposed to be in there, that he was going to be in. And I just knew by September 1st, he was going to be in. So I felt like we needed to do some prayer and some fasting together. So there's a bunch of us this last Tuesday. We spent the day fasting. And then a few of us met here on Sunday or on the Tuesday evening and just spent some time praying for Chris and praying for this thing. And then I just... Yeah, so then before Cell started on Tuesday, me and Chris hung out, and I just got to chat, and we forgot about the house for a minute, and I just said, like, actually, what are you willing to do to actually just completely, to walk in complete obedience, to actually follow God? And so it wasn't about moving in the house, it wasn't about this, so I just said, like, what do you feel like God is asking you to do?
Yeah, no, and I mean, I told him that I feel like God is telling me that I need to move into this house. But I didn't consider that my parents would change their mind at all. But Matt told me that what I, if I really felt that way, what I needed to do was tell them what I'm doing, like ask for forgiveness rather than permission, basically, and just do it and then tell them, hey, I did this, you know, deal with it. And he said, I mean, worst case scenario, they don't support your school or your rent or your food. So that's worst case scenario. Like,
it's not exactly what I said.
That's yeah.
What
he said. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I did. I told them, I said, this is really, really important to me. I told them that God told me that I needed to do it, and I've never talked to them about my faith before, so it was, that was a big deal.
So then, on, so this was on Tuesday night, and so then on Wednesday, Chris texts me and says, hey, my parents might want to talk to you. I was like, okay, awesome. Here we go. So September 1st is Friday, was Friday, just happened. So Thursday morning, I get a call from Chris's mom, and she's a very nice lady, very sweet lady, but it felt like a job interview, and I was like, okay. But it's great. We had a great chat. By the end of it, she goes, you know what? Yeah, I think this is going to be a really great place for Chris. And then she says, like, so when could he move in? And I was like, well, he could move in, like, today if he wanted to. And she's like, well, there's a good chance that he might have to because of, like, all the rent and stuff at the dorm. And so anyways, long story, well, actually, no, not long story short, long story long, he moved in on Thursday night on the 31st, and he was in by September 1st. And he was willing to walk in a complete obedience to do what God was asking him to do. He was willing to risk losing relationship with his parents. He was willing to risk losing their financial support and financially just paying for school, paying for living himself. He was willing to put all that on the line to walk in obedience, and he did. And his parents were on board, and is in. So there we go.
So there's two of them, so they can do the testimony four times as long. No, I think that's really good. What a story of faith. And again, there's lots of pieces as you're surrendering to God and dealing with things that are inside and struggles that are going on. So does anyone else, is there, I'll just, one or two more minutes here, but anyone else just eager and you wanted to share this morning? Oh yeah, for sure. And then we'll still have a few minutes for a short message at the end.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Sarah Johnson. And I'll just share briefly kind of what I've been experiencing this summer. I was working at a job that I found very, very stressful. I was there for 8 months. And since end of May, I've been off work. Just due to stress and depression and anxiety. And so my whole summer has kind of just been sorting through these emotions that I have been experiencing for a really long time, but never actually have had time to, just a good chunk of time to really sort through, like, what is actually going on with me, like with my mental health and stuff. And God kind of just brought me to a place where he basically just stripped everything away from me, where I was just not capable of going to work and leaving the house and stuff like that just became very challenging. And so this summer I've been sorting through that. But it's been really good because in the beginning it was hard. Because I'm like, God, there's timelines and planning that needs to get done. Like, I'm finished my university degree, but I still have more schooling that I wanted to complete. And I'm like, this is totally just disrupting, like, my five-year plan. And but I think it's been a tremendous gift because he's really brought me to a childlike state of dependence, especially even just like with simple things, like just household stuff and even going to sell. And like, I just find those things challenging where I wouldn't normally find stuff like that challenging. And so God's been just teaching me a lot about his grace. And that's been just so good, because I don't think I've ever really had time in my life to think about it and to understand it. And that's been so encouraging. And a few weeks ago during worship, Sunday morning, I was just so overcome with emotion, and I was like crying and all this stuff, and just having a really good time with God and just being in his presence. And I was like, God, I just want to love you with everything. Like, I just want to serve you. And the Holy Spirit actually just spoke something so precious to me, and I think I'm always just going to hold on to it as just a tremendous treasure. Because he said, Sarah, you don't have to want. You do love me. Like, you are seeking me. And that was so encouraging, because even when I have just seen parts of my life just kind of fall apart or just be taken from me for a season, and I don't know when it's going to be over and whatever. I don't know what it looks like, what the future looks like. To just have God like affirm that he sees my heart and he knows my heart. And just to say, like, you do love me. Like, it's, I see that. And so that's just been really, really encouraging. And yeah, I think I'll leave it at that for now.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah. And I know that there's others as well. And because people have definitely come and shared them with me and with others as well. But I just have that privilege. Thank you, everyone, for being willing to do that. And it's good to testify, is it not? Did you get encouraged a little bit? I think for me, it's this piece of how do we just keep pursuing God and putting him as our attention and focus. And I think we can get pretty distracted on different things, where we can focus our attention on, God, you must heal me. And that is, then we just focus on just that, where his love or his compassion or his goodness is dependent only on that. And God wants us to be able to love him even in that, but there's this place where we crave it, but a place we come back and say, God, what are you doing? And I'm just very grateful for the testimonies that we had here today. Let me pray. God, it's so good. Thank you, Jesus, for how you're working in people. You gave me a picture earlier today of a garden of our church that I've seen many times. But this time, Jesus, instead of there being lots of weeds and a couple spots where there's flowers, I felt like it had been tilled under, and there was all these little flowers everywhere, and there was some good soil that was there. And God, thank you for that. I pray that testimonies today, Jesus, this would give people hope, that we would have courage, that we desire to pursue you and to know you, God. Thank you again, God. Thank you for how you've changed us and are changing us. God, would you be glorified? In your name we pray. Amen. So today I was going to deal on a topic that it looks like I'm going to have to wait a couple weeks on. I'll just give you a very brief little intro, and I'll have something for you to go home with that you can do some working through on your own. We've been going through this series on complete obedience, and with that comes all sorts of challenges. What does it mean to not just be a fan of God, where you come and say, I love my church, Jesus is awesome, I really like my friends, and you ought to come, and move it to, God, whatever you would ask of me, I would do. Complete obedience is quite different when we say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as opposed to kind of live your life and add God into the mix there somewhere. It's different, is it not? It's different. This is a different piece of what goes on. So in this journey, we ended up coming to Hebrews, and we looked at the elementary teachings of walking with God. And one of the pieces that was in that list is the resurrection of the dead is an elementary teaching. So this is the one that I was going to begin to tackle today. I'm not going to make it far. I'm going to make it into questions for you in which you're going to go home, and you get to study and look at it, and in a couple of weeks, I will tackle this again. What is the resurrection of the dead? At the very simplest form, it's when we die, we don't just are buried and that's the end of it. We actually, there's an eternal life after heaven and hell. There's lots of scripture that goes on. This is why it's a foundational or elementary teaching, is because it's not just death and that's it. It's actually, we will one day be resurrected and we will live for eternity in either heaven or hell. And that is a whole doctrine in which we can get into and look at. It's a really important one. And today, that's not what I'm going to be dabbling into. I'm going to be actually dabbling into the actual resurrection of the dead itself. And we'll, I'll get there in just a second. So, I think we got the wrong one. Yeah, we got the wrong one, Britt. I know it looked like it was the right one. That's okay. It actually doesn't really matter too much. So I just wrote down a couple passages that talk about heaven and hell. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that talk about eternal life and what it's going to look like. Luke 12:5 says this, "But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." And so there's a whole piece about what hell is like and what it looks like. And many have sought this through for a long time. Hebrews 11, this talks about heaven. And again, lots of scripture on there, 15 and 16. "If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." And there's lots of scripture, again, that would talk about these things. There are literally, again, hundreds of scriptures that talk about things like reward for how we live on this earth, what that's to come. Levels in heaven and hell. I don't know if you knew that there's, it's not all the same. There's levels or position in there. Who ends up going to which one? Why do we need a savior? That God prepared a place and is making a place. There's scriptures on mansions. There's scriptures that talk about food that the angels eat. There's scriptures that say that the heavens open and food dropped down. And there's something like manna that you eat and it satisfies for years, if you want, for the children of Israel. Who is in heaven today, or are they? But for today, that's not where I'm going to get to. Again, just really briefly, the topic ends up becoming complex. I was trying to wrestle with how do I make it clear based on what we've talked about. The basic teaching is we're going to die and go to heaven or hell. The complex teaching is that there's all sorts of questions that are involved with it. There's all sorts of pieces that are involved in heaven or hell, or what that looks like, and when do people get resurrected, and how is that going to be? And so why do we bother talking about these things that seem more complex? Why? And the reason is I'm going to give an example. I'm married to Kendra, my wife. We've been married 19 plus years and have 4 children. To get married to Kendra, I did not need to know everything about her. I needed to know, and I don't even know if I knew this at the time. I knew some of these things, that she loved God. I knew that she was growing in a love for me. She was kind and caring. She was in for marriage for life. I needed to see that the way that she lived her life in the private and the public was the same. She loved the church and she loved Jesus, and she would follow Jesus anywhere. Based on those things, I absolutely could marry Kendra. Now, there's very other things about Kendra that don't fit into that list. Doesn't change the fact that we're married at all. It just, when you get married, one of the key things is to get to know each other and get to know each other deeply, correct? If you aren't married, you should be going, yes, this is very important. Like what? I want to know that my wife loves sugar cereal. She needs to know that it's not healthy for her, and she does know. She doesn't want to eat it all the time, but I want to know that. Why? Because if we're going to have a special date, or if I want to encourage her, I will bring out the sugariest of sugary cereals and give it to her. I want to know that I should never buy my wife flowers. Why should I not buy her flowers? Is it wrong to buy a woman or your wife flowers? Absolutely not. My wife would be concerned that I had just spent money that should come out of a different budget, and she would not be able to enjoy the beautiful flowers. So, if I buy my wife flowers, that means that I have secretly hidden cash, and she has no idea, and I'll spend that, and she needs to be confident to that. It doesn't mean that we're not married. It just means I want to know her because I love her, and she loves me, and I want her to be able to respond to my love for her. I want to know that Kendra doesn't like bike rides, and it's not because she doesn't like doing sporty things. It's because when we go bike riding with our children, she thinks they're gonna die. Fair enough, they don't think the way that adults think. So she's just happy if her and I bike ride, or if I bike with the children and teach them how to ride well. I want to know that she craves alone time, and she needs to know that I crave to be with people. I need to know that she wants quality time and not just see me from a distance. I want to know why spontaneity is stressful for her and why a plan is really good. Some of you are looking at each other. I want to know that she loves coffee, not black, but with a little bit of sugar and cream. I want to know these things because I want to know her. And it's a way that we can fall in love with each other more. So in that same way, there is eternity, heaven and hell. There's this eternity, and we're going to go there. And if you've surrendered your life to him, we will spend eternity there. On the other hand, there's this side of knowing things about God and wondering about him. Wondering why and how does this look? And I think the conversation of the resurrection of the dead actually brings about, when we start to look at it, it's going to bring about answers to questions that are really important where scripture doesn't seem to make sense otherwise. I'm not going into all of them today. But what are some of the questions associated? When we die, do you go right to heaven and right to hell? Don't answer the question. Just think about it for a second. When is the actual resurrection of the dead? What does that mean? Do believers and unbelievers get resurrected at the same time? Is Satan already in hell? Is there a waiting place? Or what is Hades and Sheol? What does that mean in scripture? How about stories that seem to be complex in scripture that don't line up with your theology or your belief system? Do we write them off, or do we, as people who are growing in maturity, we want to sort them out? For example, did this ever get working for me or no? Doesn't matter. Okay. So in Greek, they don't have punctuation in Greek. So there's one passage that I've used my whole life to say, when you die, you go right to heaven. The passage I've used is Jesus saying to the guy on the cross, and I say this to you, today you will be with me in paradise, correct? You're like, of course, he's going to be in paradise. The problem is that Jesus didn't go to paradise that day. It actually says he didn't go to paradise until after he had resurrected from the dead. Then he came, and then he was with the disciples, and he says himself he never went to heaven that day. And then he went about, and he was spending time with the disciples, and then he resurrected and went there. So you're like, how does that work? So you'll be with me in paradise. So we say, well, a day is like 1,000 years for God. Or we come up with something. But perhaps it's not like that. Perhaps, maybe if it maybe looks different, maybe the grammar could have been changed where instead of saying, and Jesus said to him today, I mean, Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. What if it was, and Jesus said to him today, you will be with me in paradise. Would that change things? One comma, would it change it? Well, perhaps if the people who were writing the scriptures or translating it believe that when you die, you go right to heaven, they would put, comma, today you'll be with me in paradise. Maybe if someone believed that that wasn't the case, they would go, today you will be with me in paradise. Perhaps. Stephen, into your hands I commit my spirit. Ah, he must be going to heaven. Maybe. Does this also include his body? Does this include his soul, his mind, will, and emotions? I'm not answering questions today. Other verses that say when Jesus comes back, there will be a resurrection of the dead. It says in scripture that he's going to come on the clouds, and then there's going to be a resurrection of the dead who are going to meet him in the clouds, and then those who are alive are going to meet him, but first those who are dead and those who are alive. If everyone was already in heaven, would there be a resurrection, or who would be resurrected at that point? I'm just asking questions because I went in this week going, I'm not sure I have answers because I've chosen not to really spend a lot of time thinking about it. How about Lazarus and the rich young man, or the rich man? And they appear to have a conversation in hell. They can see each other from a distance. And you're like, well, maybe they can see hell and heaven and you can see each other. And it didn't quite line up in my theology. Or are they not there? And are they in a place called Hades or Sheol? I'm not sure. Can we communicate with each other? Was that just an illustration, or is that actually true? These are scripture. There's many scriptures that talk about when you die, you become fully asleep. You are sleeping. You are in a rest. What does that mean? And how does that fit into what our theology is? So, I'm not going to give you answers today, but I'm going to give you scripture and I'm going to give you some things to sort through that you get to go home and you get to wrestle it through. And in a few weeks, come back and we're going to dig into the conversation of resurrection of the dead. Is that fair? Some of you right now, there's chaos going on inside of you because you're thinking that your pastor is crazy. That's okay. Because actually, don't we all want to know scripture and whatever the Bible says, is that not what we desire? Yeah, I desire it too. I have no desire to take you on a path that's going to lead you astray. That's not my desire. But I also am not ignorant to say, I don't understand everything in scripture. So this conversation is going to be one of wonder. And this last week and a half has been a tremendous ride for me. This message is not a salvation issue. Although if you don't believe in heaven and hell, that doesn't actually change the fact whether it is there or not. So I guess in that regard it is. But it is something that is important, and I think scripture will become a lot more clear. So here are my passages and a couple things to think through, and it's past church ending, and that's okay. Okay, so first, here are three of many scriptures that you can spend time on this week. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. Next one, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 to 58. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58. And the third one I'll give you, and that should be enough, and the rest you can look on BibleGateway.com, is Revelation chapter 20. Okay, got that? 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58, and Revelation chapter 20. So that's first little piece for you on what the challenge will be for this week. Number two, when you're going to get into these scriptures, please lay aside all of your preconceived things and just read scripture and see what scripture says and wonder about it. But do the wondering with the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, would you teach me and show me? This is the first step in becoming a pastor. No, some of you just panicked. Yes, you're all going to be pastors one day. I'm kidding. Okay, third. We are made up of three parts, body, soul, spirit. As you're looking at these scriptures, out of curiosity, body, soul, spirit. So soul, sort of meaning mind, will, and emotions. Those three, do they all go to different places at death? Do they all go to different places? Or all the same, when he talks about the spirit, or when he talks about the soul, or when they talk about the body, is it all going to the same place, all the different places? Is he differentiating? What does that mean? Got that? Some of you are like, you think you have a theology? And that's good. I really hope you do. I thought I did too. Fourth, the Bible talks about two different resurrections. Did you know that? Actually, sort of three. Jesus resurrected. He's the first one to be resurrected. But there's two other resurrections. Like, when do they take place? This is not elementary now. This is like, oh my goodness, like what in the world? And it's in there, and some of these passages I've given you, it's in there. But there's two resurrections, so don't get fooled. There's two. And look, that gives you really good clues. And last but not least, write down questions that you have. The goal isn't get the answers. The goal is to actually ask questions to begin to sort through what the answers may be. Okay, and if you are struggling through scripture, I don't want you, the second you have one scriptural question, you just throw it at me and say, here, pastor, you deal with it. I want you to dig. I want you to get into it and wonder. And then if you don't know, after you've sorted it, send me an email and I'll see if we can tackle some of those questions coming up in the following message coming out of here. So again, my email is Donavan, D-O-N-A-V-A-N, Don, Avan, at youranchorpoint.com. Okay, did you get that? The reason why we're doing this, elementary teaching, we need to understand it. I think you're going to be filled with wonder as you explore and get to know some of these parts about who God is. That's what I have. I want to pray and end things off. So would you bow your heads with me? God, I had no idea that the resurrection of the dead, that conversation and judgment, that this was an elementary teaching. And I didn't make sense why it was an elementary teaching. And this week, as I've been digging into this, I realized why. God, it holds far more weight than what I originally thought that it did. I'm excited, Father, that you are in heaven and you are over all things. Thank you that you have this overarching plan of what you are accomplishing to fulfill what was prophesied from thousands of years ago, prophesied that is happening in our day. Thank you that we have the joy of seeing much of Scripture beginning to be unfolded. Thank you, God, for the wondering. Thank you that in Scripture, we don't have to know all the answers, but we know someone who does, and that is you, Father. We know that. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for revealing truth to us by your Spirit. And I ask, God, that when we carve away time and we get before you, that you would begin to bring so many questions that would come up, and that we would not be satisfied with just writing them off, that we would wonder about you. God, we don't want to create a doctrine or a belief system that is just based on what we've been told our whole lives or what we think. God, we want to look in the Bible and find out what is true. God, what did you say about the resurrection? Why is it important? Who gets resurrected? What is heaven like? God, what is hell like? Who goes there? And why does it work this way? God, what is 1,000 years that Scripture talks about and heaven coming back down to earth? What does that all mean? There's so many questions that are really exciting to explore because we want to know you. Thank you that we get to be your bride. Thank you that we get to wonder about you and get to know you. God, I'm asking that you would take this church from little flowers and little plants and you would walk us into maturity. God, you would walk us into this place where we would want to explore and to know you. God, thank you. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for those who aren't here. God, I pray that you would minister to them where they are. God, I pray that when we walk out of here on this Sunday, beautiful Sunday afternoon, God, I pray that your presence would go with us and we'd testify of the things that you've done in our lives like we did this morning. God, I pray that in this church there'd be so many testimonies of you speaking and you revealing and you transforming and you healing. God, that when we go and we talk to people, we cannot not talk about you. God, that it just bubbles out of us and we need to share the things that are happening. Thank you, God. Thank you for this time. God, would you be glorified? Praise you. Amen.